Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back on time because we want to get you to the Pac-12 announcement.
So that's all it takes for us to be on time is to have a major announcement from the conference we cover.
Yeah.
Oh, they should just do that more often if the boss wants us to be on time.
If they're going
to
fill a segment for us, I'll break on time.
Exactly.
So we will, Mike's monitoring that, who knows if they're going to be on time, but it's supposed to start at 5. So any minute now, we will turn it over to the Pac-12 and you'll hear Larry Scott. I think the Oregon president is there. The Oregon State doctor is there. And then the guy from Arizona State. And it has leaked that the Pac-12 will be returning. 7-game season starting November 6th.
But it's really, well, 6 games and then you'll play, because people were pointing out if you start November 6th, there's not 7 weeks and then the conference title. And that's true. You'll play 6 regular games. Then the 7th week, the 2 best teams will play in the conference championship game. And then everyone else will play a 1 crossover game. It sounds like they'll play second place north, second place south, and down. So everyone will get in 7.
They don't seem to be deterred by the games that have been canceled so far. I mean,
you figure, right,
COVID's going up, but they don't care.
There's been roughly 20-25% of the games that are canceled week to week. So
is that what it is?
Yeah.
That sounds high. I thought it was only like 22 total games.
No. Well, there hasn't been that many games that have been played. You know.
Well,
that,
that's true. I guess.
So yeah, it's been changing week to week, but you're operating somewhere in the low 20s there, low to mid 20s of the games that have been canceled every single week. So
yeah, I mean.
And I don't know if that number will go up or if it'll go down, because now we're getting the SECs back and you know, we'll get the Big Ten of the Pac-12.
Right.
But you're going to get, bottom line is, not everyone is going to play 7 games. There will be games that'll be postponed. It's just, it's bound to happen. And with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, there's no wiggle room. Once a game is canceled, you can't make it up.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Well, I think it's great that they're back. I hope it's safe. You know, they've got the whole testing thing in place, which they were trying to get for January anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that's kind of how this whole thing started. And they were doing that. They were just lining it up because they thought, well, we'll just do this in January and we'll be safe. And then I think there was some political pressure and then just the view of everyone else coming back. I truly believe that, in my opinion, if the Big Ten doesn't come back, we're not having this conversation right now. Big Ten came back. All of a sudden, the Pac-12 was like, oh, my God, we can't be the only one.
And so you think the Pac-12 got these tests and still would have just played in January?
Yes. Yeah.
But then the Big Ten came and said, we've got them, too, and we're going to play now. Yep. And then the Pac-12 was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, what are we going to do? And now what we've seen, the Mountain West, and now we've seen the MAC. I mean, I don't think a lot of these leagues want to play. they're being forced into it. In fact, they were talking to, who is it? Might have been the SEC commissioner. I don't remember if it was an AD. I think it was their commissioner who said, someone was asking him about, hey, coming back and you've seen some of these, you know, the results and people have delayed games. And they asked him, what would it have been like if you were the only ones playing? And he kind of smiled a little bit and was like, well, I don't think that would work very well if we were the only ones. He's like, luckily we didn't have to do it. Like, this is all a matter of, well, they're doing it, therefore we can do it. And if they're doing it, then these people over here can do it. So if you want football to be bad, give credit to the SEC. They were the one all along that just were like, no, we are going to push through this. And that gave the ACC to have the balls to do it. And then the Big 12 was like, well, hell, if they're doing it, I guess we kind of have to do it too. And that led to kind of a domino effect. And now basically football is back.
And it's football.
It is indeed football.
Football is football.
But
football.
Not football the way football. That we remembered it.
Football is football.
Here's the other weird thing. Bowl games can officially start December 1st,
yeah,
and you'll still have regular season games going on.
That's crazy. That is really crazy.
And you Did you guys say that there's no win requirement for the bowl games?
Yeah. So
Kansas is going bowling.
If you're an Oregon State fan,
hell yeah,
you could go to a bowl game this year regardless of what your record is. Although there may not be fans in the stands, so I guess –
well,
you'd still be a bowl game.
Somebody texted and said, so they're going to play like four games and then we're going to have to try to figure out who gets in the conference championship game. Yeah, it is interesting. Like, do you think, because if they have a staggered amount of games, like not everybody plays the same amount of games or whatever, mm-hmm, how do they decide, how are they going to decide a champion, division champions off of that? I mean,
I'm assuming with the six games, you're going to play every team in your.
Well, I know, but what if you, again, like his point is, what if you only play four and another team plays six, and in that sixth game they lose, you've only played four, you've won them all. Like, how do you view, you know, how do you?
I don't know.
How do you?
I don't know if you're going to go off win percentage. I don't know if your head to head trumps all. I don't know. That is a very. It's a very valid point that I don't have any sort of clarity on, because what if you beat a team head to head?
Right.
Right. But you only played four games. You had to have two of them delayed. They were able to play six and they were 5-1. They've got more wins, but you own the head to head. I don't know.
They need to put together a Pac-12 playoff committee.
My guess is that maybe some sort of win percentage thing.
Yeah.
And then they'll have tiebreakers for...
Ugh.
Well, and imagine, too, with only such a short slate of games here, only six, that one crossover game, because we assume, we'll wait and find out, but we're assuming you'll play the five other teams, north and south, in your division, and then one crossover game. That crossover game becomes pretty big. If you get USC as your crossover game, slightly different than if you get Arizona as your crossover game.
So the next question... While we wait here for the Pac-12 announcement, which is coming up live on The Fan momentarily.
They've actually been exactly on time every time I've done this, so this is rare that they've been 5 minutes late.
I'd have to go back and look, because it's now been too long, I forgot. But I think the SEC's playing like 10 games.
Yes.
The Big Ten's playing 9+1.
I think they're playing 8+1.
And then the ACC and the Big 12 play more than what the Pac-12 is going to play.
Yes.
Does fewer games mean a better or worse shot at the college football playoff for the Pac-12?
I think it's worse. I think
it's easier to go undefeated.
It is easier to go undefeated, but I just.
And then more games, it's easier to lose one.
I just think if you're dealing with a 9-1 team, a 9-1 SEC team or a 6-0 Pac-12 team, something tells me the SEC may be getting the nod over that.
Yeah, but then it comes down, you know, it goes back to perception. And
yeah,
if it matters which team it is. If it's Oregon and USC, they're going to get a lot of respect.
Sure.
If it's Arizona or, I don't know, Cal.
UCLA or whoever.
They'll get overlooked.
Yeah. I don't know. All of this is just, it's unprecedented, right? We have no idea exactly how this is going to look. I'm looking here in the ACC. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, they'll play 11. So, I mean, they're essentially playing, and that's if they get through them all. But, you know,
that's a lot of games.
They're already playing. Clemson's already played. Think about this.
I know they're 2-0, aren't they?
Yeah, Clemson has played two games. They're going to go play their third, and we're just now six weeks away from the Pac-12 kicking off.
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
I don't know what to make of all this.
I mean, it's absolutely bizarre. So
maybe you don't want a Pac-12 team in there.
Whether it's fair or not, you are going to get punished for only playing six or seven games.
Okay, so if you only play six or seven and Clemson plays 11 plus a championship, so they play 12.
And SEC has 10.
Who does that favor if you get in and you're playing one of those elite teams? Who would that favor? Are you like, you're more fresh because you played fewer games?
Yeah,
because late in the season, I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah, you can get grinded down.
Oh, hell yeah. College is just a war of attrition.
I think the Pac-12,
I think it's going to be a moot point because I think you're going to see some upsets. I just think the...
Well, you're going to see that in all the leagues.
Yeah, I just don't know if anyone in the Pac-12's running the table even in a seven game schedule. I mean, we've seen already, it's going to be so topsy-turvy. There's just no way to predict. I wouldn't even know how to handicap the Pac-12 at this point, other than saying just the most talented teams, right? Most talented teams, UW, Oregon, USC, right? Three most talented teams. Teams that bring back a lot and that haven't made a lot of changes. I think Cal could be a sleeper team. Arizona State, if you just want to go off returning quarterbacks. Teams that could, you know, maybe Oregon State, although they got a new quarterback, but the coaching staff stays the same. Teams that could struggle. UCLA's got a brand new coach. Washington State's got a brand new coach. Had to implement all new systems. I would think that would be a bit of a challenge.
UCLA is Chip Kelly.
Oh, not UCLA.
You guys shut up.
Colorado. I was thinking Carl Durrell. I was thinking UCLA.
Idiot. I would probably. Well, you just never know how teams handle it, you know, in their little world, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest thing is I'd probably, like, just look at the coach, like, the most established, best coaches. That's what I would go with. All right, let's go live to the Pac-12 press conference here on The Fan. Here's Larry Scott.
I didn't want making my vote. I didn't want to take this away from them. And so if I could feel comfortable with their health and their safety, that we weren't jeopardizing it, then to give them this ability to fulfill their dreams was something that I felt I should vote in favor of.
All right. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that perspective. Dr. Aukerman, the Medical Advisory Board obviously has led the way every step of the way. That's been pointed out numerous times. President Schill, of course, alluding to some of the data that made the CEOs feel comfortable moving forward. What's important in your mind for people to understand about the science and the data and where we are now relative to where we were 6 weeks ago when, you know, you and the medical board recommended that we put everything on hold?
Yeah, I mean, the medical board has obviously made all of its recommendations and guidelines based off of the science and the discussion with the experts that we have in consultants in terms of sports cardiology, infectious disease. And it's important to note that the public health people that we've included in our group, and we've been able to really involve individuals that are not tied to athletic departments and even individuals that are not even tied to the university. So we've been able to really have a broad breadth and viewpoints. And when we felt it wasn't safe, we felt it, there was too many risks, we were willing to step forward and say we needed to pause. And, you know, the advent of the daily testing and the advent of our ability to get PCR backbone testing back quickly, along with the antigen testing, to ensure that when our student athletes step on the court or on the field for practice, that the chances of them spreading COVID to one another diminishes. It can't take it to zero, but it certainly mitigates it. And it makes the other risks that we were concerned about in terms of cardiomyopathy something that we can help manage, because we can identify those who may be at risk of having COVID and spreading it and removing them so that they don't spread it to their peers and their teammates. And so all of that in place really made us feel more comfortable that we could manage this in a safe manner and make the recommendation that we could move forward.
And from a medical standpoint, have you or we learned anything from the other conferences in the schools that are, you know, 2 to 3 weeks into their football seasons? Is there data sharing or observations about spread that have helped inform how you guys are moving forward?
Sure. We certainly talk with our peers and both formally and informally, and there is information sharing. I wouldn't say that it's changed any of our decision-making. We made our decisions based off of the science and off the experts in our group and what we felt was right for the health and safety of our student athletes, and put that as the only guiding principle for us in terms of making recommendations.
All right. And Ray, I definitely want to bring you in now. There are some people I think that would consider the Pac-12's decision process throughout all of this slow. Some would call it smart and methodical. I know you've been in communication with parents and student athletes throughout this entire process. So from your standpoint, what context would you want to add about how this entire process has unfolded?
Well, I got to tell you, the collaboration and alignment of the folks in this conference since day one has been extraordinary. And from the very beginning, our beacon was going to be the health and safety of our student athletes, including the mental health and safety. And so Commissioner Scott, the presidents, the chancellors, the ADs, our football coaches, our ops people, and certainly our medical folks, we're going to be relentless in terms of protecting the interests of our student athletes. And we just weren't going to deviate from that. And so I think the collaboration and alignment to do the right thing. And then what was also very, I think, robust in our process was the constant communication. I love my AD colleagues, and we spoke ad nauseum. And then our medical advisory group led by Dr. Aukerman was consistently available for Zoom calls with student athletes and coaches personnel to engage and educate about what was evolving in this very, as you said, Ashley, fluid and unpredictable situation. So the fact that we could stay aligned and collaborate and also communicate across the board, I think it kept all of us much more calm and confident that we would get to the right outcome. And so today's breakthrough is really great news for our student athletes, their parents, our fans, but it's a real testament to the way this conference worked from the very beginning with regard to collaboration and communication for the best interest, student athlete health and safety of Pac-12 student athletes. And so I'm very pleased to tell you on behalf of all the athletic directors, it took us a while, it was deliberate, it was thoughtful, and at times exhaustive, but that was necessary to do the right thing. And I think we're here today.
You know, Ray, I know a lot of people, so many people are really excited about today's news. Can I ask, were you able to break the news to Herm, and what was his reaction?
Well, Gene Boyd, our general manager, our deputy athletic director, is hand in glove with Herm. And so I gave him the joy of delivering that news personally. I'll get a chance to talk to Herm a little later this evening. But Gene and the football working group have worked diligently to try to, on the football part of it. Obviously, the basketball folks have done likewise on the men's and women's sides and across the Olympic sports. But in terms of football, Gene Boyd had the pleasure of notifying Herm, and I'm sure he's still jumping up and down in his office somewhere.
Yeah, I can feel the enthusiasm all the way over here. I know there's a lot of media questions, and we'll get to those in just one second. I have one last one for the commissioner. From a big picture standpoint, looking towards the end of the season, the Pac-12 championship game is scheduled for December 18th, which is pretty much the day before the other Power Five conferences will play their championship games. Do you believe, Larry, that a 7-0 Pac-12 champ would or should be included in the CFP as it's currently set up?
Yeah, our school is going to have the opportunity to be in the conversation, have every opportunity. We regularly discuss this at the CFP Management Committee. You know, there's no minimum number of games. And I think we're all very humbly going into the season, realizing there could be disruptions along the way. In fact, our fellow conferences have built that into their schedules with bye weeks. And we've seen it play out over the first few weeks. So no one knows how many games they're going to get in. It's going to be a challenge for the committee this year. They're going to have more subjectivity than they've ever had in terms of different schools with different number of games, player availability, other different conditions to contend with. But that's why we've got a committee of 13 very diverse experts that are going to weigh it all up. But our schools, knowing that we're going to be able to play a meaningful number of games, high-level games, with our championship concluding the couple of days before that final CFP meeting, we absolutely have the opportunity to have a team in the mix for the playoff. And I know our teams and our student athletes are coming back eager to compete for that.
All right, that's Larry Scott, Oregon President Michael Schill, some other guys. Glad we got the Herm Edwards question in. That was very important by whoever that was. But we missed the first part of that. But the Pac-12 is back. It's a 7-game schedule culminating December 18th. And a keynote there that Scott said they will be eligible for the CFP.
Yes.
That's what we call it now.
Well, because it comes out the day after that. So, again, it's just a matter of what sort of consideration they give to a 7-game schedule or, if it's less than that. And, again, we don't know how many games each team will play over the course of the Pac-12 or the SEC because of all the delays and starts and stops.
So Shill, before we got him on there, said that it wasn't about money. He said that anything they recoup by playing this shortened schedule
will be small.
Will be tiny compared to the losses they're already taking.
Well, again, because
he also said the reason that they waited until Thursday to make a decision. A lot of people were asking that question. He said they knew they had the votes, but they wanted to go talk to their players and students and faculty.
And they said they had met with several student groups, including athletes. And that was one of the things that the Oregon president said, is that the athletes universally just said, we wanted to play. So that whole we are united Pac-12 thing, yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, so the player, that's just poof.
It's just gone.
Like, not a thing.
It got football got taken away, and they wanted it back. And he is right. Like, I know people rolling their eyes and saying this isn't about money. Well, it kind of is, and it isn't. You're trying to minimize your losses, but by playing, you are going to incur travel costs and all that go along with it. And with no fans in the stands, your revenue is going to be severely limited. So you're putting a Band-Aid on a gushing wound, but it does help recouping some of this TV money. So is it about money? Yeah, I'm not going to say it's 100% about money, but you can't tell me that isn't part of this.
All right, the latest Hot 5 at 5 we've ever had.
Yes.
Is coming up next on The Fan.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed on The Fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Hey, did you see the Thursday night football game kicked off? Hell yeah.
Well, last Thursday we had the battle of the horrific unis black and orange, and now there's just a lot of teal on your screen.
Oh, there sure is. Ooh, boy. By the way, coming up next, we'll do a college football look ahead since college football is pretty much back for everybody.
Yeah.
At least coming back.
Number five.
Loser has to shave. Jacksonville and Miami on Thursday Night Football.
Loser leaves town. What? That's like the old wrestling thing. You know.
Okay.
They used to do the old loser leaves town. Rob was completely flummoxed by that.
Well, I thought you were going to have hot breakdown. Aren't you our football guy? Whoa.
Yeah, where did loser has to shave? What sort of breakdown do you want?
Yeah, I don't know. Rob, that was kind of on you.
Beard and stash. Come on.
Okay.
Loser has to shave.
You want a detailed breakdown of each one? Fitzpatrick's is way more powerful. That's the best beard in the game right now, hands down. How about that? Right. Hardest working beard in the game. Right. Dolphins unis, by the way, better than the Jags.
I like the Jags.
That's a ridiculous statement. Those things are horrific.
They're not horrific.
Those are bad.
You're a ridiculous face. Look at it.
Now we're just getting personal.
Yeah, we are.
Number four.
Tonight in the NBA, we have Lakers Nuggets game four. Loser has to shave.
Loser has to shave or leave town or leave the bubble. We'll see if this is... I'm fascinated. I was reading a lot of the different national articles on this, and like, you know, can the Lakers stop the Nuggets? Like, every time the Lakers lose a game in the bubble, I swear we collectively as the media members, we freak out.
They're going down.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, like they lost a game. It's going to happen. But like all of a sudden, like this, like even if they lose tonight, it's like, what's wrong with the Lakers? Nothing. It's the conference finals. It's not going to be easy, but I have faith that the Lakers and AD will be okay in this one. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Denver has proven beyond resilient. So if Denver loses tonight, they're certainly not out of it. They've been down 3-1 twice.
Yeah, it may come down to the third scorer. You know, you got Davis and James, and then Jokic and Murray kind of canceling each other out. Then what?
Well, yeah, Grant had a big one for Denver, and the bench played pretty well, and Porter Jr. And I mean, that's the thing with L.A. When they get their other guys going, they're really, really tough to beat.
Bam Adebayo, by the way, for the Heat, should be good to go for Game 5 despite that wrist injury. Remember, he was holding his wrist last night. But Spolster says he'll be out there. There will be no win requirements for college bowl games this year, meaning we could get the Kansas Coastal Carolina rematch that we've all wanted.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming you're not going to have a lot of fans at these bowl games anyway, so why not just pick TV draws? I mean, if you're ESPN controls about 80% of the bowl games. Why wouldn't you just pick teams that are in major markets to maybe get some eyeballs on them? I mean, because in a season where you could have some teams playing 6 or 7 games and other teams playing 11 or 12, all those requirements go out the window. But if you're Oregon State, hey, go 4-2 and maybe go bowling.
Well, that means they could go 2-4 and go bowling.
Yeah.
Or 2-5 or whatever.
One would assume that maybe a winning record in order to qualify for a bowl game.
No, they said no record requirements.
I know, but...
You're saying that they won't invite...
They're not inviting.
Now, if Ohio State goes 2-7...
They will get invited.
They'll get invited.
But if Oregon State goes 2-4, no one is inviting you to play in the bowl.
So unfair. Mariners have to run the table to have a chance to make the playoffs. The inevitable starts tonight. Although, I will tell you that the Blue Jays are winning right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're leading the Yankees 2-0. And if the Blue Jays win, they are in as the, wouldn't necessarily be the 8 seed, but they clinch a playoff spot. So then the only way that the Mariners could get in if the Blue Jays hold on to win that game is they have to win all 4 of their remaining games, and the Astros have to lose all 4 of their remaining games.
They're done.
So, yeah, they're probably done.
Yeah, they're out. Do we have anything left? I mean, I'm looking through here about it. In the NL, I think it's a little more unsettled than the AL.
We have all kinds of stuff left.
No, but as far as clinching playoff spots.
A ton. As a matter of fact, we can go through this tomorrow on our show. So spots 5-10 in the NL. Remember, there are 8 teams from each league that get into the playoffs this year. 5-10 in the National League could all end in a tie.
Really?
Yes. So they're that close.
6 teams in the AL have already clinched. Houston is basically clinched. So again, the AL way more settled, at least for teams being in right now, than the NL.
In the NL, the Cardinals, the Marlins, Giants, Reds, Phillies, Brewers could all tie. Which would be awesome.
So far in the NL, all you have is the Braves, Cubbies, Dodgers, and Padres. They're the only ones that have clinched.
And number one is that the Pac-12 CEOs voted unanimously to start a 7-game football season beginning November 6th. Oregon and Oregon State are back. So are the other schools in the Pac-12, by the way. We don't know the schedules yet, but the league will wrap up with a title game on December 18th.
And no fans. Although they did leave open the possibility of fans maybe in Vegas for the championship, although there's going to be no fans at any of the Raider games, so maybe not. They just said that there'll be no fans on any campus stadium. So maybe that leaves open a hope that you could go down and see a conference championship game in Vegas.
A little bit of trouble for Colorado's return to football, though. Boulder County halted all gatherings for college-age residents for 2 weeks, which means the Buffs can't practice or work out for at least 2 weeks. Meanwhile, in California, state health officials have cleared the way to expand practice numbers. Up until now, they could only gather in groups of 12.
So 6 weeks to get ready, so the Buffs will only have 4 weeks, basically. So a little behind the eight ball there for Carl Durrell.
Poor guy.
Well, remember, new team coming in there, too. New coach, new coordinators. No, it's basically, if you're a gambling man, bet against the Buffs.
Well, I'm guessing that'll be built into the line. But,
probably.
Who knows? All right, so the Hot 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's look at the weekend in college football. We actually get good games, I think.
Well, it's better. I don't know if it's a great slate, but it's the first couple weeks have been really bad. This, we actually have some interesting matchups.
Hold my hand. We'll go through it together.
Yeah. Someone else got hurt, by the way, and they're bringing out the cart in the NFL game. So.
Oh, no.
The knee
is it on my Jags?
It is on your Jags. Break out the meat wagon. Someone's down.
All right, it is 5:31. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Look at Fitzmagic. You just can't stop that guy. Another touchdown.
We told you this, though. Like, after, 4 weeks where you'll start to be like, man, I shouldn't bet against that guy, then comes the 6-interception game.
Oh, for sure.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah. Let's look at their schedule real quick. Then we'll go to the college.
To see where the tires officially come off.
So this week, Jacksonville. Now, next week, they host Seattle.
Well, but Seattle doesn't play defense. Yeah. So
Fitzpatrick will pick them apart.
That'll be fine.
Okay, then they're at San Francisco.
Yeah, they're hurt. They'll be okay.
And then they're at Denver. There it is right there. That's the game right there.
Denver?
Denver's going to beat them.
Seemingly,
and Fitzpatrick's going to have 5 picks.
No one will see it coming. You're like, yes. Oh, the Broncos suck.
Yes.
And then they'll get torn up.
This is correct.
I can see it. And then we get Tua. In all honesty, though, if Herbert plays well this week And Burrow hasn't looked horrible. I mean, Cincinnati's not very good, but he's in there battling. You wonder, like seeing those two guys, if that doesn't speed up the timetable a little bit for Tua, or if they're just like, nope, we're just...
I read that Tua's on a no contact. He hasn't had any contact. He hasn't been hit yet at all. Yeah. They were saying that some were speculating that maybe he's not ready.
Not ready, not hit. Well, I mean, he did have a busted hip. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, ask the olds.
Yeah.
They can tell you.
Yeah, fall down some steps. I don't think he's an old, but yeah.
All right. College now. So the Pac-12, if you're just tuning in, the Pac-12 did vote to return. We'll have more on that with Joey Harrington on our show tomorrow at 5:30. How about that? Like how I corkscrewed that tease in there?
That's why you're the best in the business.
That is. Right there. But, yeah, so the Pac-12 is back. They'll start November 6th, 7 games, championship weekend, December 18th, and all teams will play on championship weekend. The top two teams from each division will play in the Pac-12 title game, but then the number two teams will play, 3, 4, and so on. Now, this weekend, it looks like we actually get some decent...
It's by far the best week. We've got a couple top 25 teams and some...
Although, I'm just looking through here, and I got to tell you, nothing blows my sexy hair back.
It's better than anything we've had so far. I don't think there's been one single good game.
That's not saying anything.
No, it's not. But, you know, at least we've got, I know they're not very good, but you got Miami, Florida State. Miami's number 12 in the country.
I do like that. I've always liked that game.
So you got that. Tennessee, South Carolina, again, a top 25 team in Tennessee, and at least South Carolina you've heard of.
South Carolina?
Again, cares. At least it's something. Army's 22, Cincinnati's 14.
Don't care.
LSU number 6 versus Mike Leach in Mississippi State.
Yes.
That's a good game.
I'm in on that.
Yeah.
Mike Leach.
Florida at Ole Miss. Top 25 matchup, number 23, Kentucky at number 8, Auburn.
Well, my.
Wait, what? Kentucky, Auburn. Huh?
Kentucky's 23, Auburn's 8.
Kentucky's ranked?
Yeah, Kentucky's ranked. Mm-hmm. And then number 24, Louisville, and number 21, Pitt. So you at least have a handful of top 25 matchups, and then some teams that you've heard of.
K-State, OU.
Don't forget that big Campbell, the Fighting Camels versus App State.
App State?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Texas Tech?
Yeah.
That's good.
So Texas,
I mean, is it?
Yeah, Texas Tech's bad.
Who's their coach now?
We just talked about this.
Matt Wells, right?
Is it Matt Wells?
I think it's Matt Wells.
It's possible. But they're the ones that barely eked out a win over, was it Houston Baptist?
Yeah. How bad is Alabama going to beat Missouri? Hopefully bad.
And Missouri's down like a bunch of players. I think they got a couple of them back, but they're down double-digit guys with COVID. So Alabama is...
You have a lot of players.
Yeah, out. Alabama's going to roll.
All right. Well, it's okay. It's just weird that we're already in SEC. You know, like we already have league games.
Yeah.
You know?
And then 4 games postponed or canceled as well.
Yeah, but none of them are games we care about.
No, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Houston, North Texas, South Florida, Florida Atlantic, and Tulsa and Arkansas State.
Does Ole Miss have anything?
I do not know what
Ole Miss
is. Is
that Lane Kiffin down there?
That is Lane Kiffin. This would be year one. I don't know what Ole Miss or Mississippi State. This is Mike Leach and... Lane
New
Kiffin.
Coaches.
Although we do get the Egg Bowl, right? So that'll be fun.
When?
Second to last week, the Thanksgiving weekend. We get that. So not the last game of the year.
Yeah, but
Ole Miss actually finishes with LSU.
What about next week? We get anything good next week?
You are being so greedy right now.
Yeah, Texas A&M Alabama next week. There we go. Oh, and Auburn, Georgia.
Well, see.
Come on.
Now you got
Come
it.
On.
Come on, son.
I love that.
Come on. Hey, Jacksonville State versus Florida State. What about that? No, that's it. That's all you got.
Norvell.
Clemson at Virginia?
Maybe.
Clemson plays nobody.
Maybe.
I guess they got Miami. Outside of that, it's just...
I hate Clemson. I've decided that I hate Clemson.
Have you?
Yeah. And the reason I hate Clemson is they never play anyone.
Well, the ACC sucks. And so Miami, everyone's doing the Miami's back. But I asked the question. So if you go on any national football site, right? One of the top stories is the U is back. Why? They beat Wake Forest in the GD Citadel. Why are we saying that Miami's back?
Well, because you have to have a headline when like literally nothing has happened in college football. So they're the story.
So if they don't play that, if Miami does, turns out to not be good, who else in the ACC is worth a damn that you're going to play?
I have no clue. I mean, is Florida State going to be good with?
No, Florida State just lost.
Well, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be okay.
Florida State's not good.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
I like that coach.
I'm pretty confident. At least this year, Florida State's not going to be very good.
Okay.
Dude, they lost to Georgia Tech 16-3.
My Jackets.
Yeah. No. Wait, do they play Notre Dame, right?
They're in the ACC this year.
They're playing the ACC this year. So does Clemson have
They got
Notre
a bunch
Dame?
Of COVID.
Let's take a look here. Yeah, Clemson actually plays Notre Dame. So.
Okay. Okay.
So
you go.
The vicious schedule that is Clemson, not only do you have to deal with Miami, but now Notre Dame.
Is Virginia Tech? I mean, they're always pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're borderline top 25 team.
Maybe North Carolina? Mac Brown cheating his ass off down there?
I would hope so. They don't play North Carolina.
Okay. Convenient.
No North Carolina. Yes, the AC.
But they do play Notre Dame. That's good.
For all the crap that the Pac-12 gets for being soft schedule-wise and not being a deep conference, the ACC is garbage. They just have Clemson on. They have Clemson, and it buoys them up. Because
well, before that, they had Florida State.
Yeah, Clemson and Florida State have carried that league. It's not great.
Oregon should move to the ACC.
Plant
rules violations on Dabo.
Get him out of there.
And now you're the king of the ACC, and you're in the college football playoff every year.
You would. I mean, honestly, if you put Oregon in the ACC, I do, or Washington for that matter. I feel like you're in the college football playoff because you can still lose a game in that crappy conference and be fine. And there just isn't a lot of competition there. It's a bad conference that's been buoyed up by one team.
Hey, the primetime bingo board is a real thing.
I know. I saw someone finally put that together, and it's brilliant.
Our boy Ryan.
I didn't see who did it. Our boy Ryan. Which one's our boy Ryan?
Ryan from Blazer Tag Podcast.
Oh.
He listens to us regularly.
That's fantastic.
He put that together. He said it was that or pay attention to his wife and kids during the commercials of the Thursday night football game. Oh, and so he chose to make the primetime bingo board.
We need to discuss this in the club because do we do this over the course of a week or is this just an ongoing bingo
game? I think
it's
a daily game, isn't it?
Well, it can't be a daily game because isn't this the opening segment or is this just over the course of the show?
I think it's the opening segment, but we could talk about six of those things in the opening segment.
That might be a continuation.
No, you're right. It's probably a week.
It's a week sort of thing to see where you go. He did a very nice job. Of putting this together.
Good handwriting too. 5:44 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I just saw this come across too. I guess the Pac-12 title game is not going to be played in Vegas this year. It would be played on the campus of the top seed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess they have a contract with Vegas. I was kind of reading through this. Again, more details keep leaking out, but I guess they only have so many years of a contract with Vegas, and it sounds like they don't want to waste one of those when there probably won't be able to be fans. So they'll just delay that. And
That makes sense.
It makes sense, right? I mean, that's a big money maker. You're trying to pack people down there. So and they just travel and all that, again, keeping costs down. And so it sounds like whoever has the top seed, so I'm assuming just you go off of the rankings and it'll be played there. And that's the way it was, the first 2 years, right, in the Pac-12? They used to have it
Oregon had one. They beat UCLA.
They beat UCLA, and I think it was 2 years of that before the Santa Clara Stadium opened up. And thank God it's not going to be there anymore.
Another touchdown for the Dolphins. this text is correct. There needs to be a spot in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for backup quarterbacks, because if there was, Ryan Fitzpatrick would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And that's right.
I would say.
He is the best backup quarterback of all time.
He's really good.
He's good.
Yeah.
But he's not
John Kitna?
A starter.
Are we going John Kitna?
That's good. Although I would.
He was a backup for a long time and a
that's good.
Partial starter.
Kitna's good.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like Kitna was a starter.
Really?
Well, more so than Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick has been a starter a lot of his career.
Yes, but there's a difference between being a starter and being a starter just because a team has no other quarterback.
I feel like you're splitting hairs here.
I am splitting hairs, but sometimes you have to split hairs.
See, I'm intrigued.
That makes sense.
I'm intrigued by this because Chase Daniel never plays, but he always gets paid a lot of money to be a backup.
He's not great though.
But he never plays.
I know, but he's not great.
What about
Come on?
What about Brian Hoyer?
You're comparing. Ooh, that's good. Hoyer's good.
Brian Hoyer has had some years where people...
Case Keenum?
I think your key is, when you're talking about the difference, no one is happy that you're their starting quarterback.
You're a stopgap.
But you're not unhappy. You're like, yeah, I guess we got Brian Hoyer. Like, yeah, it's that's fine.
Put it this way. Here's what I think decides it. When that guy is your starting quarterback, you say that team does not have a quarterback.
That's true.
You say that team is just like, because when Cam Newton was out there, you know, you're looking around going, who needs a quarterback? Well, Miami drafted their quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. Well, they have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Definition of what we're talking about.
But at the same time, in order to be considered a really good backup, though, when you say that, you also can't be disgusted that he's your quarterback. Because, like, if Bubby Brister was your quarterback back in the day, you're like, oh, my God. Bubby Brister is our quarterback, whereas Fitzpatrick, you're like, okay.
I don't know that they are saying that in Miami. That's why they drafted two. Like, they don't care about Fitzpatrick.
They don't, but they're not upset that that's why he's starting right now. There's no calls. You don't hear anyone screaming and yelling for Tua right now. Because you got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't know. I think I'm more right than you, but I always think that.
You do.
So therefore, we settle nothing. But I love that text. Here is the primetime bingo board.
Oh, I thought we'd do this in the club. You're just jumping into it right now.
Well, it is the club.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Club-ish.
Blazer Tag Podcast professional Ryan Whitledge.
Yes.
Did this for us. He's always listening. Good dude. He has, and here it is.
Well, okay. We start with the free space.
Yeah, free space is weather.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Like almost every day.
And then, do you want me to go top left to right?
Sure.
COVID, Sook's Kids, Murder Shed, Rob's Golf Game, or Hots on the Waterfront.
All very solid common choices and common, yes.
Next line down is drugs, alcohol.
Both of those would have been today.
Gym adventures, Sook's $1,000 bag, or pre- or post-vacation talk.
Again, all very solid.
Then you have, this is where the free space is in the middle.
Yeah.
You have animal uprising, traffic, home improvement projects, and robots. Also very good. Then on the last two lines, you have Rop's hair, Sook's lady friend, Rop's car, snakes, or actual sports.
A little bit of an upset there, but occasionally you do get actual sports.
It happens.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is protests, raccoons, Sook argument.
I think he clarified that as any sort of social disagreement that I have out and about in the world.
Oh yeah, because you're always daily. Yeah, you're always getting into it with people and wondering why.
I like to stir it up a little bit.
And then we have Mike's Rich Life.
Yeah.
And last, this is the most controversial one. He has Offer Up.
Yeah, selling or buying random.
Do
things
we talk
off
about
the internet.
Offer Up a lot?
I didn't think so, but I mean, this may be one of those things that we don't really notice. You did spend like 4 days talking about selling stuff that you found in your crawl space.
Yeah.
That was a regular thing.
I am on OfferUp.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think I have a guy coming over tonight.
Oh, what are you picking up?
I'm not picking up anything.
Yeah.
He's picking up a mirror.
Mm.
Yes.
Murder mirror?
$30.
That's a screaming deal.
And I love it. It makes me so happy. My wife's on the side of, why do you put that stuff on there? Like, who cares about $30?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, rich lady. First of all, it's super easy to take a picture and post it.
Yeah.
People come and get it. They hand you $30. Why not?
Yeah, you really don't have anything else.
I mean, some of the stuff we just give away, but if you can get money for it.
Yeah. That's a couple beverages at the at the golf course.
That's what I say. I'm like, why do you not? We are so divided on this. I'm like, why would you not put that on OfferUp?
See, now there's a line here for me.
Well, sure. $20.
Yeah, I was going to say 10, 15 bucks.
It's 20 bucks.
Yeah.
Nothing goes up there unless it's 20 bucks.
Sure.
Or if it's a big item and you want somebody to just come take it.
Free.
Put it on there for free.
Absolutely.
And you will have a fight in your driveway.
Yes. 100%.
People want anything free.
Anything at all. You could take a dump in a bag and be like, it's free. And someone would be like, what, free? And then they'll ask you, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with this? Nothing. It's just free.
I made the mistake once of as a novice OfferUpster.
Yeah.
Of giving out my address to two people.
Oh.
So they were racing.
Oh.
And one guy said, well, I already got a truck. He had to rent a truck. It was an old fridge.
Yeah.
I was just like, free, take it. Just get it out of here. And he was like, well, I rented a truck. I'm like, I am so sorry. This guy came before you. And he's like, well, you gave me the address. I'm like, yeah, that's a little on me. Sorry. You still don't get the fridge. I felt bad about that.
Was he upset?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was.
Yeah.
You know what I offered him? I offered him a grill.
Did he take the grill?
No, he never responded.
Mm.
He told me to F off.
Well, I mean, if you're not in the market for a grill, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, hey, I came to get a fridge. No, but I got a grill.
Yeah, but you rented a truck. Take the grill. Sell it. Pay off the truck.
Yeah. I suppose. It's an interesting line of thinking. I haven't really gone down that road, but I suppose. Someone saying you guys sound poor. Again, Richie Rich over here.
Yeah, radio.
Must be nice.
Come on.
Yeah.
We don't make anything here. This is a for the love of the game sport.
I have done this.
Kidding me?
I had something that I had listed.
And now they're garnishing our wages.
Yes.
Stupid intercom.
Me and Rob taking it square in the backside. There was something.
It's their fault, too.
There was something I had listed on OfferUp.
F them.
And I think I had it listed for like $50. Nothing. And then I dropped it down to 30. Nothing. And so this was like 3 weeks go
by. What'd you do?
And I think I dropped it down to like 10. I was like, just $10, whatever. And nothing.
Somebody offered you $5.
And it sat there I just forgot about it. And it sat there for quite some time. And I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, I just got to get rid of this stupid thing. Not one person had inquired about this thing in 2 or 3 months. I put free on it and it was gone in like 7 minutes.
That's right.
And it just baffled my
mind. $10 to nothing.
Yeah.
And it meant that much.
Someone looked at it and was like, I'm not paying $5 for that or $10. Someone easily could have been like, hey, I'll give you $5. I'm like, sure. Not one response, free, same sort of thing, just descended down upon it. And I was like, oh my God.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, if it's free, that's all that matters.
I had another situation where I gave away a plant for free.
Yeah.
And the girl backed into my neighbor's car as she left my driveway. And my neighbor was pissed at me. I'm like, hey man, that's not my fault.
Sorry.
I don't know. She's like, who is that girl? I don't know.
Blame her.
Some girl who was hot for a free plant.
there are certain things like on that are offer up is valid for, mainly getting rid of big items. No one wants to deal with a fridge or something like that. Old appliances, lawnmowers, great. Throw them on offer up, get them the hell out of there.
All right. Now we club. Are you ready to club?
I am. I'm ready to club.
Are you warmed up? Fluffed?
I'm clubbing hard. Fluffed?
What? Well, you know what that means.
Hey-o!
Coming up in the club, we have the flight that goes nowhere, but it's sold out. And I've got some poop news for you guys.
We just got done talking about it. Is it free poop?
You guys want some poop news?
If it's free poop, I want it.
That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.